This week we're heading off for a few days, visiting friends and family and hopefully having a bit of a rest as well. As the day of departure gets closer, we are making some preparations for the journey. Of course, it goes without saying that these are at the last minute and should have been done a while ago. But nevertheless, we're thinking about our destination. I was reminded of the children of Israel having been saved from bondage in Egypt. God had promised a fantastic land for them to occupy, a land flowing with milk and honey, a promised land, a land of their own given by God. God's land given to Israel for a habitation. Just by the way, it still is God's land and it still is given to Israel. In this respect, this week I read a quotation of Joseph Goebbels, who was the great propagandist of Hitler. And he says, if you tell a lie big enough and keep repeating it, people will eventually come to believe it. The most brilliant propagandist technique will yield no success unless one fundamental principle is borne in mind constantly. It must confine itself to a few points and repeat them over and over. So anyone who is repeating to you the theories of Reformed theology, be very careful. The children of Israel had to travel through a barren and hostile wilderness, totally dependent upon God for all their material needs. They faced opposition from the inhabitants, both human and animal. But they had the promise of God of a beautiful destination. When the going was tough, I wonder if they ever thought much about the promised land to which they were going, and did it ever spur them on to greater effort to reach their destination? Sadly, I don't think it did. We, of course, know that later on, when, because of their disobedience, God permitted them to be exiled from their promised land to Babylon for 70 years. There they did look back and they mourned for their promised land. Psalm 137 we read, there, that was in Babylon, we sat down by the rivers of Babylon. We wept when we remembered Zion. We hung our lyres on the willows in their midst. And from there, our captors demanded a song from us, and our plunderers demanded gladness, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? They mourned for the land from which they had been exiled. Now, those of us who are born again of the Spirit of God, those who have accepted Christ as their Saviour, we too have been promised a wonderful heritage, a wonderful inheritance by God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We have a hope, and that hope is based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And what is the hope? To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. I've got a reservation in heaven. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. got a reserve seat. I remember once when I was travelling through, coming from Nepal down into India, at this main railway station somewhere in the middle of North India, I wasn't feeling too well, and I'd slept in a room on the station which wasn't terribly comfortable, and I had booked a ticket to get to Calcutta on the main train which came through that station. A young fellow who had sort of befriended me and guided me around the station called for me early in the morning, wakened me up, and I got dressed and went down to wait for the train. And when it arrived in this crowded station, on the carriage door there was a list of names. All these carriages had a list in them. We went down the list on the various carriages, and there was my name. I don't know how it got there, and would not have been surprised if it hadn't been there, because the place was so confused. But there was my name. I had a reserved seat, a reserved bed in actual fact, a sleeper on the way to Calcutta. We have a reserved inheritance in heaven waiting for us. The Bible has a lot to say about heaven. You know, I remember an old preacher, well, he wasn't so old in those days, but he must be quite old now, speaking about the riches and man's desire for earthly riches. He used to say, collecting gold. In heaven, gold is used for tarmacadam on the roads. So let's get our priorities right when we think of our earthly inheritance. But our heavenly inheritance is reserved in heaven for us. You know, many hymn writers have sought to put in words and music their thoughts of heaven and of their loved ones who have gone to be with their Lord and Saviour. Sometimes their language is a little bit flowery, but nevertheless, they have sought to put into words their thoughts of heaven. You see, we, like the Israelites, are also travelling through a hostile country, a world which has rejected the light of the world, and a world which has chosen to walk in darkness rather than come to the light of the world. The whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. Like sunshine at noonday, his glory shone in. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light. 'Tis shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. You know, recently I've been thinking of some of these hymns. You know, when you wake up some morning and there's a tune in your head and you have it for the rest of the day. Well, I've had one or two of these for a bit longer than that. And I was just thinking about them, and I'm going to share some of them with you this morning. The thought of heaven as a garden is familiar amongst hymn writers. There's a hymn we used to sing at home, and it's very moving and thoughtful. We as Christians will either pass through death, or we will be taken by our Lord and Saviour when he calls at the rapture to take us to be with himself. Our heavenly bridegroom, he will come to take us, the church, his bride, to himself. In this hymn, the writer reminds us of the Israelites looking toward the River Jordan and seeing the promised land. And you know, we too should also live in that blessed hope of the coming of the Lord to take us to be with himself, and it's an assurance we have from his word. Jesus said, I will come again. just beyond the River Jordan, just across its chilling tide, is a land of life eternal. Through its vales sweet waters glide. By the crystal river flowing grows the tree of life so fair. Many loved ones wait our coming in the upper garden there. We shall meet them some bright morning, resting by the waters fair. They are waiting for our coming in the upper garden there. The other day I was walking through our garden and I had to walk through a large clump of poppies. And as I walked by, I crushed some of them with my feet. Have you ever felt hard-pressed, crushed by this life? Has life been particularly hard of late? Listen to this verse. Growing in the upper garden, flowers by earth too rudely pressed, in that land shall reach perfection by the heavenly gardener dressed. There the flowers bloom forever. Sin can find no entrance there. There is life and light eternal. There is joy beyond compare. There the buds from earth transplanted for our coming watch and wait. In that upper garden growing just within the golden gate. Though our hearts may break with sorrow by the grief so hard to bear, we shall meet them some glad morning in the upper garden there. We shall meet them some bright morning, resting by the waters fair. They are waiting for our coming in the upper garden there. I don't ever remember singing that hymn apart from singing it at home. The next hymn in my mind has been going on in my mind for quite a while. It's an old favourite of mine. And there again, it is of that beautiful land. I have heard of a land on a faraway strand. In the Bible, the story is told, where care never comes, never darkness or gloom, and nothing shall ever grow old. In that beautiful land, on the faraway strand, no storms with their blasts ever frown. The streets, I am told, are paved with pure gold, and the sun, it shall never go down. There's a Saviour who died, and his arms are spread wide, pardon sinners like me to enfold. And I know when I stand in that beautiful land, his glory shall never grow old. There's a home in that land at the Father's right hand. There are mansions whose joys are untold. And perennial spring where the birds ever sing. And nothing shall ever grow old. In that beautiful land, on the faraway strand, no storms with their blasts ever frown. The streets, I am told, are paved with pure gold, and the sun, it shall never go down. You know, I remembered as I was thinking about this, the words of an old spiritual. Everyone talking about heaven ain't going there. Everyone talking about heaven ain't going there. Sadly, these words are so true. We sing these songs about heaven. They console us in some way, But are we sure that we're going to heaven? Such an important question, that. Jesus once spoke to his followers. And then he spoke to people who thought they were his followers. In Luke 13:22, and he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut the door, and ye begin to stand without, and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not, whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not, whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. Very solemn words, that. We know you, Lord. You taught in our streets. We went to your church. We took communion every Sunday. We did our best in trying to follow you. You must know us. He did not know them, because they were not true followers. And unless we have accepted Christ as our Saviour and Lord, and his Holy Spirit indwells us, we have no place, no inheritance in heaven. Not everyone, Jesus said in Matthew 7, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man. How solemn. Another hymn, which again I have never sung in a meeting, but it's about the hymn writer who had a dream. Now, dreams don't always follow exactly the logic of everyday life. Nevertheless, this dream is very solemn. I dreamed I had gone to that city where never comes night. And I saw the bright angels in glory, I saw the fair mansions of light. I gazed for long, long years of rapture on the face of my Saviour so true. And I sang with the seraphim holy. Then I dreamed I searched heaven for you. I looked on both sides of the river that flows through the city of God. I searched through bright mansions celestial and streets of gold pavement I trod. The faces of saints by the million I scanned in my yearning to see that face I had cherished so fondly, the face that had grown dear to me. I asked of 10,000 sweet angels, Have you seen this beloved one? Pray tell. Have you met in the bright courts of heaven the one whom on earth we loved well? They shook their heads sadly and told me that they had not seen you. And then I knew that somewhere in the darkness you wandered, lost in sin. I dreamed I searched heaven for you, searched vainly through heaven for you. Oh, won't you prepare to meet me up there, lest we should search heaven for you. For us as Christians, we have a responsibility to tell and to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Just one final hymn. Here again, I've never sung this anywhere except at home. And it's a challenge to each of us who are Christians. I've no need to remind you that I am not a singer. And when you've heard me singing, you'll realise that fact. Nevertheless, trust that they will be a blessing. Into the tent where a gypsy boy lay, dying alone at the close of the day, news of salvation we carried, said he. Nobody ever has told it to me. Did he so love me, a poor little boy? Send unto me the good tidings of joy. Need I not perish, my hand will he hold. Nobody ever the story has told. Bending, we caught the last words of his breath, just as he entered the valley of death. God sent his son, whosoever, said he. Then I am sure that he sent him for me. Smiling, he said, as his last sigh he spent, I am so glad that for me he was sent. Whispered, while low sunk the sun in the west, Lord, I believe, tell it now to the rest. Tell it again, tell it again. Salvation story repeat o'er and o'er, till none can say of the children of men, no more. He ever has told me before.